Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
As one of the older Americans, I can honestly say there's never been anything like this crisis in our lifetime. Some of us are doing our part by staying isolated physically in our homes, but many of our family and friends are on the front lines working in hospitals and other essential services. I know that many of our friends who listen to this broadcast and support Ware's Valley Ranch are long-distance truckers. I want you to know that we're praying for you as you keep our stores supplied with the essential foods and other materials we need. Thank you. Please stay safe. And please, those who are able, support this ministry to children and families in crisis. If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 17. It's the last chapter in this section of Jesus' instruction to his disciples, and then now concluding with his high priestly prayer. John chapter 17, this is God's word. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you gave him authority over all flesh, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed. I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. They have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. Everything I have is yours, and everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy completed in them. I've given them your word. The world hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one, As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them, and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is about to die. He's about to be tortured and then nailed to a cross where he will hang until he's dead. And he knows it. He knows that's what's coming. And he prays for us. He prays for us because of what he knows we will face in this world. And his prayer is not that we would be protected from suffering, but that we would be protected from the evil one. That we would be protected because there is an enemy who works full time to steal, to kill, to destroy. And he has a host of helpers. And if you are trying to live your life as a follower of Jesus Christ without recognizing the reality of spiritual warfare, you are like a football player with a blindfold on, wondering what all those hits are coming from. The Bible tells us that our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's real. It's ongoing. And if we're not careful, we'll start to think that our enemies are those people or those people or those people. And that's not where the battle lies. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual, and we need to learn to use them. But I want you to see that Jesus, facing the cross, as he prays for us, has some overriding concerns, some things that are absolutely vital to him. He prays that those who are his may be one. In the body of Christ, Jesus says he wants us to be one. I have a spiritual oneness with people all around the world who come from a variety of denominations, a variety of traditions, a variety of cultures. They live at a variety of income levels. I stayed with a precious family in the Philippines on a little island where every morning the servant girl, whom they were helping by giving a job, would get up and take a broom and sweep the floor. And then she would do it again later in the day. Then she would do it again later in the day. And she kept the floor nice and tidy, and that was her main job. Sometimes she would go and fetch water and things like that. But her main job was sweeping the floor. Now, what I found interesting about that, the house I was staying in had a dirt floor. But it was the tidiest dirt floor I'd ever seen. Now, would you say that's a little different than my personal orientation, those of you who know my personality, okay? I really would not want to spend my life living on a dirt floor. But I'll tell you this, that time in that home with those gracious, generous people, some of the happiest memories of my life. Because we were family, my brothers and sisters. We loved one another. And the reason is because if you bumped them, what spilled out was Jesus. That's what they were full of. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, what spills out of you if you get bumped? Jesus prays in verse 11, Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. Okay, how one is Jesus with the Father? I mean, one. He said to Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what God wants in us. For us to be so one in love with one another that it resembles the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. He's praying about love so that what comes from the inside and controls the relationship is a love that we have for one another, where we genuinely care about one another and want the best for one another. That is what will show the world the genuineness of not just our faith, but Jesus' identity. Jesus says, I'm praying this so that the world will know that you sent me. Jesus is talking about the love among people who are his. And people who are his live a life of love. And if you're not living a life of love, you need to examine whether or not you're his. Now, I want us to go back and look at the opening part of the chapter because Jesus describes something that really fits with what we were just saying about what it means for his children to be one and to love one another. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you since you gave him authority over all flesh so that he may give eternal life to everyone. Period. Is that what it says? It's not what it says. What does it say? So that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. What? Not to everyone? No. To everyone you have given him. Huh. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. I have revealed your name to the people. Period. Is that what it says? No. It says, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Wow. Do you get the impression that Jesus is saying, A, not everybody's going to be saved, and B, God's intention was to display his grace by saving some of us undeserving sinners. But I thought he offers salvation to all. He does. And all say, no thanks. Not for me. I'd rather be my own boss. I want to do my own thing. My name be hallowed. My kingdom come. My will be done. That is the universal response of unregenerate people. Every single one of us was once dead in trespasses and sins. Read Ephesians 2. All of us resisted the truth, ran from the light, were slaves of the forces of darkness. Well, so how did we get saved? well, we were just smarter than the others. No. No. Consider your calling. Not many wise, not many noble. How did it happen? He saved us. He opened our eyes. He replaced the stony heart with a heart of flesh. He regenerated us. Jesus says in John chapter 3, the start of this gospel, you can't even see the kingdom of God, much less enter in unless you're born again of the Spirit. God has to regenerate you in order for you to say, oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's God's doing. If you think somehow you earned it, that you were better than others, you have totally missed the truth. It's his work. It's his doing. And therefore, we owe him all the praise. But I want you to see one more thing. We've looked at it before. But it's in verse 5. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed. Wow. Glorify me with that glory I had with you before the world existed. The eternal God has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't become Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And therefore, when you read Philippians 2, it is that much more powerful to realize that the Son of God didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became a baby in a manger. He became before that a developing child in his mother's womb. This is the one who existed before the world existed. That's why he was able to say to those who were attacking him, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. Taking the name of God, I am, and applying it to himself. Because he didn't just see Abraham being born. He saw the planet being born. God spoke the world into being. And Jesus is the eternal Word. John begins with that in this gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. And then in verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh and lived among us. That's who we're dealing with here. And that is who doesn't just pray for the disciples who were there with him at the time, who were about to go through the trauma of seeing him arrested and executed. But he says, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us who believe. Jesus was praying for you, Christian. He was praying for you. That does something to me. May they all be one, Father, as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, and that the world may know you have sent me. Catch this next phrase, and have loved them as you have loved me. One of the hardest things for my four adopted children to accept and really believe was that my wife and I love them just as much as our biological children. Now just hear me. Because there was a feeling on their part that, well, you know, yeah, I mean, they've taken us in their family and they've done things for us. And they keep saying, you know, I love you. But, you know, they've got to love their biological children more. It's been very hard and a process of years for them to be able to embrace the truth that we love our adopted children just as much as we love our biological children. But here's what I want you to understand. I knew it was true because I really do love them as much as my biological children. But learning that wasn't just something they needed, it was something I needed, and here's why. Because I always felt like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. But there is no way that God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. See, I know myself well enough to know Jesus is perfect, okay? He never messed up. He did everything right all the time, okay? Jesus never sinned. So what's not to love, okay? I love Jesus, all right? The Bible says that the Father loves me just like he loves Jesus. But, I mean, there must be something about the Greek grammar or something that I'm not getting, you know? I mean, That just doesn't seem real, you know? And then God led us to adopt. And as I'm loving my adopted children and they're finding it hard to believe that I love them as much as I love my biological children, my Heavenly Father is saying to me, do you get it yet? Do you understand? How much do you love these kids? Do you love them less? They're yours. They're not sort of your kids. They're your kids. And you love them, and you die for them. I love you, Jim. I really do. I'm not just saying it. I really do. Yeah, but I'm not like Jesus. And the Father says, but you will be. You see, I accept you as you are, but I don't leave you as you are. I'm working to change you from the inside out. You're a work in progress. The Bible says, what an amazing love the Father has shown for us that we should be called his children. And that is what we are. And it doesn't yet appear, we can't comprehend it. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Wow. So, Jesus prayed for the unity of those who are his, who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1. But I'll tell you this. The way that comes about is as we learn to walk in love, to love one another. Do we do anything for those outside the family? Absolutely. But our principal investment of love is with our brothers and sisters. We need to get to know them. We need to love them. And we need to be willing to be loved. Because God has called us to spend eternity together at the Father's house. So let us press in and learn to walk in love.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.